All right. Well, hey, thanks for being here. We are in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to make it down to verse 9, I think, I hope. That's what we're looking for. The idea here is you can see on the very front page there, the focus is verses 3 through 5 are on God the Father, then 6 through 9 are on God the Son, and then verses 10 through 12 on God the Holy Spirit as we discuss our salvation. And it's all focused on, in this sense, we'll say us, or maybe better individually, because we're going to talk about individual faith, you and your individual faith. This faith that you have, that you've placed faith in Christ, you've responded, you've believed in, you've trusted in, is now going to be discussed tonight as far as having a reaction. It's going to be this faith is going to be guarded. The inheritance is going to be kept, guarded, protected in heaven. We'll talk about that. It's secure. I think these verses tonight, these verses really help, I think, establish the security of the believer. If you have faith in Christ, that faith is sealed. It's guarded. It's kept. It's there. But on the earth, there's going to be what we'd say conflict. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be trials that you're going to be facing. And those trials are coming on earth because you have faith in something in heaven, in eternity. Because you've got confidence in the plan of God, the confidence in the Word of God, confidence in Jesus Christ, there's going to be things that are going to come in this world that are going to be coming against you. It's just part of the game. It's part of the way the system works. It's not because you don't have faith. In fact, it's because you have faith you're having these trials. Now, again, I can't say that if you just gave up your faith, you wouldn't have these trials. You wouldn't have the same trials. You'd have a different type of situation. You have a different type of problem. So if you want to have Christian faith, you're going to have trials and persecutions and testing. You say, well, this is too much. I don't want this. I don't want to deal with that. Well, now you're going to be hopeless in a hopeless world, and it's going to be a whole other type of situation. Now, these trials are going to come. I'm giving you the whole thing. I could quit here in about 2 minutes. These trials are going to come to test the genuineness of your faith. It's going to prove. And this is going to establish for you not just an inheritance. You have an inheritance in heaven, but you're also going to get rewards. This inheritance is because of who you are in Christ. You are born. This is talking about being born again. Because you're born into this family, we'll look at a verse, you're heirs of an estate. You've done nothing except be born. I mean, when someone receives an inheritance, I suppose in some families you have like the favored son and they get a better share, and then you're going to have everyone else. Maybe you have in the Old Testament, you had the firstborn son receive the lion's portion of the inheritance. But this is talking about us being born into the kingdom of God. We have an inheritance, and that inheritance is guarded, it's protected, it's preserved in heaven. It can't even be accessed. We've seen this in other, we saw this in Colossians also. This is not the only place you go for security of your inheritance. But while you're on the earth, you're going to be tested, and this testing is going to now build up rewards and prove the genuineness, and your faith is going to be tested and proven to be gold, or this is the word, pure gold. It's going to be tested to show that it's valuable. So you will be born into the kingdom, and you have an inheritance that is kept in heaven. This inheritance then is going to be used by you in life to build up rewards, which will then be rewarded to you. We're not talking about the rewards tonight. We're talking about this inheritance and the faith you have that's going to be tested by the trials that come on earth. So with that, quick introduction. I'm going to read, instead of struggling through the notes, I'm going to just read chapter 1 of 1 Peter in the NIV, and then we look at the notes in the English Standard. It says, again, I've got the maps left on here, so when we read these first verses, you can refer to the location this is being written to. It's being written to not just one church, but several locations, which means, again, this is interesting if you're interested in this concept of Peter doesn't just write one letter and then there it is. and sends it to the church of Galatia. He's writing a letter and then is addressing it to multiple churches, which means Peter either played, you know, passed around the letter, or Peter wrote the letter and then gave it to his staff or a couple guys or some scribes, and they copied the letter. And so it would appear that this would be a letter that would be almost, I know we would say, a newsletter, a duplicate letter that was sent out to multiple churches, which may give part of the reason why we've got a copy of it. Because if he made one copy and sent it out, then someone's going to have to make a copy of that, and they would. They would make copies of these letters. But if he's going to send out letters to, well, where I'm going to read to all these churches, I don't want to take a guess because I'm just explaining it, but he's writing more than one or two letters. He may be writing, again, I hate to put a number on because now I don't know. But here it is. You can think about it. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, there's a great word, strangers in the world, and that's what we're talking about, because you're God's elect, you don't belong here. Scattered, and that's the Greek word for dispersion, the dysperia, throughout, and here we go, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Now, those areas, those are not like towns, those are provinces with many towns in there, and in those many towns, there's going to be possibly a church or churches, plural, in each town. So, I mean, we could easily be talking about, again, I don't want to say 50 to 75 or 100 letters, but we're easily talking about 50, 75, 100 different, at least local churches that are meeting in homes, at least that many. We're talking about Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. We're talking about five provinces, and you can see what that map covers, and I mean, there's a lot of people involved in that are believers, and he's addressing them. Who have been chosen according to, here's another key word, foreknowledge of God the Father. We talked about last week, the foreknowledge of God being outside of time, being able to have knowledge of everything that's going to happen in time. And since he knows what's happened in time, he's made plans for it. In fact, the inheritance is there waiting for you because he knows what's going to happen. So is he causing it or is he knowing it? And now we're into a discussion that we're not going to pursue. For the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for the obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling of his blood. So God had the foreknowledge. The Son is going to do the work. The Spirit is going to sanctify us, and we're going to respond to this. And this is, again, the great part of us that we've been able to respond, to understand, and have faith in that, especially at a time where we're living, that so much of the world is caught up in contemporary things and things that are going on. Their hope is in this world. And every one of us is going to live and then die, and then what happens? And some people are just hoping for the best, but these letters are written and the Word of God has been revealed that there is an answer, there is a hope that you can have security in what happens after this and be encouraged and strengthened while you're living here. Okay, he says, grace and peace to you, our grace and peace be yours in abundance. That's his greeting, formal letter here. Now, is it three? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth, and that was what I had written up here, birth, you've been born. New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so because Jesus Christ came from the dead or out of the dead, he went into the dead and he came out of the dead, we also will follow him from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Again, notice this right here, his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance. And that now, that inheritance of Jesus Christ has done, so far you have done nothing. All this, Jesus Christ has done all this, come out of the dead, out from the dead, and now has an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, and that is kept in heaven for you. And you've got that because you've been born into this family now by your faith, who through faith, it's kept in heaven for you, and you who are through faith shielded by God's power. So we're going to talk about this again later. That inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Kept, it means guarded, protected in heaven for you, who are on earth and through faith are shielded now in time by God's power. How long is he going to protect you by his power? Until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And there are several things that are going to refer to that: the coming of salvation, the revealing of Jesus Christ, the last time, meaning all of this is going to be, it's in heaven now. It's yours now. It's your inheritance. But you are here. But while you're here, you're guarded by faith. How long are you guarded? You're here being guarded until Jesus returns, until the last time, until it's time for the revelation to be revealed. In this, if you understand this, and if you don't understand it, we'll slow it down and give you 8 pages of notes. In this, you greatly rejoice, because this is great news. All right, well, what could be worse? What could go wrong with this? Well, in this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. You may now be, oh, that's great news. I've got an inheritance. I'm protected by God. My faith is shielded. This is a great future. Oh, no. I've got all these tests and trials that are coming. Now, as we go through this, this doesn't tell you what the tests and trials are. It doesn't say these are the tests and trials. But it does tell you that there's tests and trials. And in verse 7, it tells you why they're coming. Now, you can have tests and trials, obviously, if you want to call them tests and trials, because you make dumb decisions. I like to sometimes, and Tony has lived with me for 43 years now, right? I don't want to cheat us any numbers here. 43 years. And so she knows that sometimes we have problems, Galen has problems, because Galen is dumb. Galen made a stupid choice. Galen made a poor decision. Galen made a mistake. Why is this happening to me? Well, we can go back and watch the game film and find out why this is happening to you. It's not that complicated. Okay, so that is one thing. We make mistakes, and you can throw that all under God's plan however you want to, but we're talking about that I need to make a correction in this area of my life. These are saying, it doesn't tell you what the trials are, but the reason they have come is not because these particular ones. These have come so that your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, and gold perishes even though refined by fire. Now, if we had gold, we'd be excited. If I handed out gold, I bet Bible study would increase if I handed out gold every time we had class, because it's valuable. But even that gold would do what? It would perish, even though it's refined by fire. There's an end to everything in time. I remember as a child, I was talking to Tyler about this either today or yesterday, at some point I was a certain age where I began to realize that everything ends. I mean, it's like, you know, that time of, you know, I don't know if you have moments like that, but there was a time when I was a child where I was like, wait, everything has a beginning and everything has an end. It's like, uh-oh, and I'm part of it. No, I'm going to end. I mean, and that's just part of this. That's why it's hard for us then to realize or think about how can God always be, because we can't touch or see anything that always is. Everything is changing and passing away. Now, that's because God, again, is transcendent. But nonetheless, even the gold, though it's valuable, Peter makes a point, even that perishes even though refined by fire. Your faith is of greater value than gold. And these tests and trials have come, okay, let me read this again. These have come, tests and trials, so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, your faith may be proved genuine. And that word proved is dokimazo. It's a key word. That means tested, but it means tested for approval. It means this is a gold bar. We're going to run it through a test. We're going to scratch it. We're going to put chemicals on it. We're going to do something to test this gold bar to indicate that it is genuine. We're not proving that it's not. We're proving that it is indeed gold. And so these tests are not coming to prove you don't really have faith. These tests are not coming to prove that you really aren't saved. These tests are coming to prove that you really have faith in a real salvation, in a real God, and that you have an inheritance because this is a real substance. So dokimazo is not a, it means proved or to test, but it doesn't mean to test to fail. I guess I don't want to push it too far, but when a teacher gives a test to the class, it's not to, now again, I can admit as a teacher, there's times I gave tests to certain classes just to crush some individuals. I just want you to fail, and I want you to be a loser. Again, that's the evil heart of a teacher. But normally when you give a test to the class, you're giving a test to prove, hey, we're making progress here. We've been talking about this. We've reviewed this. Now we're going to prove that we're all ready to move on. Let's take the test. All right, dokimazo, we proved we're ready. That's more of a pause. That's not the mean teacher. I'm going to prove that you're going to get an F. I'm going to prove that you don't understand this. This dokimazo, the word proved here, that may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor, again, when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, Jesus Christ, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And again, that the goal of your faith is salvation. We believe, and so we are saved. And that real quickly goes into the past, the present, and the future phases of salvation. We call them justification. Again, I'm sorry, this is review. Justification, this is sanctification, and this is glorification. This happens in the past when we were saved. In the past, we were saved spiritually. When we accepted Christ, we believed in Christ. In the past, we accepted Christ, we had faith, our spirits were saved, we are justified, we are born again. Right now, our souls are being saved. We're receiving information. We have life. We have the newness of Christ in us, but we're going to gain understanding, and that is going to be sanctifying us. This information is going to manifest in our lifestyle, in the way we think, in the way we talk, in the way we act. It's going to provide sanctity. Now, we're justified in God's eyes. Even though you don't act like a Christian, you have faith in Christ. But as you learn, as you grow, as you understand what God has done for you, it will sanctify you. Your soul will begin to understand, and it will begin to change the way you live. It's a process. This is happening in the present. It's happening now. So you are saved, or you were saved. Present, you are in the process of being saved. But glorification is the resurrection of the body. This is in the future. Well, it says right here, when Jesus Christ is revealed, or in verse 7, when Jesus Christ is revealed, or until verse 5, are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation. I mean, you can't argue with it. I mean, this is basic systematic theology. This isn't any legitimate theology book talking about soteriology. The past, present, and the future phases of salvation. And right here, you've got it. You think you're saved. Yes, I'm a saved believer. Okay. But why does it say this? Through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation. If salvation is coming, how can I presently be saved or be past be saved? Because the coming of salvation is the completion of this whole process. Here it would be the salvation of our bodies. This is going to be we are waiting for glorification. We're waiting for the fullness of this salvation. So you can rejoice that you are justified. You are saved. You have an inheritance in heaven. But we have Bible study for this purpose of helping sanctify us, to renew our minds so we can understand this, so we can live our lives now with the confidence in Jesus Christ. We can have love and be giving and caring, because we're just passing through. I don't have to get it now. I don't have to have my best life now. I mean, what a tragedy to have to think I'm having my best life. Now I'm having a good life. I mean, God has blessed me. But my goal is not to have my best life now. My goal is to be sanctified, to renew my mind, to understand God, understand His plan, and sanctify my soul so I can live a life that is pleasing to God, because I'm just passing through, because I'm going to eventually be resurrected, or my body will be saved, glorified, and I'll be saved, spirit, soul, and body. And at this point, salvation will be complete. Past, present, and future, I will be justified, sanctified, and glorified. Today, I am not glorified. Today, I'm in the process of being sanctified. Once again, we can refer this conversation to Tony, and she can talk about moments where I am clearly sanctified and moments where it's like, this guy has some work to do. And so this is a process, but I am fully justified because of the work of Jesus Christ. I am not earning my salvation. I have eternal life today, and this eternal life is in heaven. Well, we're heading there. It's an inheritance. It's in heaven, kept for me, guarded, and no one can take that. That's there. In fact, there's no way you can transcend to that place to destroy that. Satan can attack here in my soul or my mind, or here physically. He can attack these, but these right here are not going to attack or destroy what's been established in heaven spiritually. This is why I am confident if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you are justified. You have eternal salvation. You have eternal security. Our work, what I am doing here for you, now if you're not saved, you need to do this, and we'll talk about that. But if you are saved, if you have been justified, if you are a Christian, this is just a truth that we'll continue to restate, we'll reestablish, make that confident. There's nothing I can do about this glorification. If you came for glorification, I want to be resurrected tonight. We can pray for your healing. We can pray and intercede for you. But we are not going to be able to do this. This is only going to happen when Jesus Christ is revealed. Listen, this is what Generation Word Bible teaching is all about. The middle phase right here. If you're not saved, most time people come, they are saved because they've accepted Christ already. I hope they didn't come thinking I was going to like take them to heaven or resurrect them. But what we are clearly doing, this is the whole purpose. It's happening now in the present. It's the sanctification of your soul, of your mind. We are in the process of saving your soul. Your spirit is saved. Your body will be saved. But right now, tonight, we are saving your soul. We're renewing your mind. You're gaining more understanding of what God is doing in your life. Okay, so that is what is being said here. Okay, let's go to the notes. Very quickly, I want to fly through these notes. I'd like to get through, because otherwise I will be playing with these 8 pages of notes for another 2 months. We'll save on the printing, but okay. Chapter 1, verse 3 on the notes. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again. Do you see it right there? He has caused us to be born again. So you are born. This is important. I know it's a biblical term, but it's also been used in culture. Are you born again? Are you a born again believer? But A-G-A-I-N. But this is a New Testament term. You have been born again. You were born. Jesus used it first with Nicodemus. You've been born into this world. But now you need to be born again. You need to be born from above. And Peter says to his readers, he's not trying to get them born again. This is not an evangelical. Peter's doing, I would say, if I could be so bold, exactly what I'm trying to do tonight. He's not trying to get these people saved. And he's not trying to get these people resurrected. In fact, there's nothing in here about even doing anything for them physically. He's trying to confirm their faith, from this position, their soul. Blessed be God the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again into a living hope. And this is because through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because Jesus Christ was born as a man, lived as a man, went to the cross and died as a man. paying for our sins. When he was resurrected, he made a way to for us to join him because he's paid for our sins. We can join Christ and be part of that resurrection. And that is the day we are waiting for. Jesus Christ from the dead, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, watch, to an inheritance. Inheritance. Born again into an inheritance. Oh boy, here I'm going to run out of letters right here. Not E-T-E-N-C-E. I wish I could spell and just had like these things automatic in my head. Okay, pretty close, not bad. See, that's why I write sloppy. It's like, there, I think that's right. And if that's not right, is that right? Okay, because that might be on the board for a while. It's always embarrassing to watch video, you know, like and the whole time I'm trying to look smart and teach, and the whole word, there's a word spelled wrong in the background. It's like, people look at me trying to talk, and they look at the idiot spelling. It's like, they just move on to some, watch some other video or something. Okay, I understand. I would do the same thing. So we've been born again into an inheritance that is, notice these words right here. We're going to break them down or refer to them again. This inheritance, you have been born. This is what Peter's saying right away. This is, I mean, we're not even deep into the letter. We're in verse 4. You've been born again into an inheritance, and this inheritance is, he says, imperishable, undefiled, unfading. Now, all those words, if something is in this earth, it is perishable. It is defilable. And it is fading. And this is why this inheritance can't be perishable, can't be defiled. I mean, defiled. You can't sin and defile this inheritance because you've been born again. You're justified. This is kept in heaven for you. It's undefiled. It's unfading. And it is kept in heaven, again, which is a huge phrase because it's not even here. And if you could get to it, you can't destroy it. So here we go. We've got some things written down here. I want to look at these notes. Inheritance, you can see the word right there. Kleronomia can refer to property already received as well as property that you are expected to receive at a later time. So this inheritance, that you may have received some of it in the sense that you have part of the inheritance. You have the newness of life. You have the Spirit of God, which is, Paul calls it, a guarantee of what's coming. So you have the Spirit of God living in you. You have the newness of life. So inheritance is referred to what you've already received, but also property that is to be expected to be received later. That is the meaning. You have an inheritance that you cannot get. You haven't got it yet. It's in heaven. Kleronomia refers to salvation the believer has received and experienced on earth, but also a portion, the fullness, the completion of the salvation promised to the believer. The mention of birth in chapter 1, verse 3 led to the mention of inheritance. The principle is seen in two verses already of Paul's writings. I've got them written down there, so we got a comparison. Paul writes the principle of, if you are a son, then you are an heir. In Jewish thinking, in many cultures, if you are a son and you can prove that you're a son, you're identified as a son, then of course, the next thing you have is you are an heir. There's a father and a grandfather. There's a family coming that has produced you. And if you are a son of this family, then you are an heir of that family. Now, again, depending on your family, you know, if it's, you know, you get dad's fishing pole or you get dad's estate or whatever. That's the principle in this world, but it's a principle here. You've been born again into a family, so guess what? This is not like, well, that's kind of a strange. This is like Peter's making a point. This is the way everything works. If you are in a family, you have an inheritance, and you've been born again, so of course, you have an inheritance. Do you know? This is Bible teaching. People say, well, I'm born again. I'm just going to go do my born again stuff, be a Christian. But do you understand? You have an inheritance. This is, and again, if you're getting your theology from Hollywood, I mean, oh my gosh, I mean, Hollywood is so far off track right now, they can't even decide how to run a country. That's another topic. I mean, the last thing I'd want right now, if I was a politician, last thing I would want is someone from Hollywood endorsing me. Please, no, or somebody that's just popular and they're going to endorse. It's like, Okay, I got to stop. Inheritance. Paul writes in Galatians 4:7, "So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and since you are a son, God has also made you an heir," heir to an inheritance. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8:17, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs." I mean, if you're saying, "Well, I'm a child of God," well, guess what? The Bible says, Paul says, if you're a children, then you are an heir. Watch, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, which is an amazing term. We have an inheritance, but our inheritance, we're not getting a piece of the inheritance. We're getting an inheritance that we're co-inheriting with our brother, Jesus. Now, if Jesus is getting the inheritance, we're like, oh, we're with him. It's like, oh, I mean, that's what Jesus Christ did for us. He's not like, you know, obviously he's going to get the lion's portion. I mean, he's going to be the king of the millennium, head of the kingdom of God. But his inheritance, we are co-heirs with this. It's not just my little piddly little bit that I'm getting because I'm Galen. I'm co-heirs with Christ. And I'm not even in the verses here. I mean, he's talking to the people of Galatia and Cappadocia. Or in this case, I'm referring to a verse Paul wrote to the Romans in 57 AD. Okay. And the word into or to is to an inheritance is ace, which means we are born into this inheritance. Or the word in the Greek, I don't have the Greek box on here, is anagneo. Anagneo means born again, or born into. All right. Page 2.4, inheritance, described with these three adjectives. I've read them to you already. The inheritance that is kept in heaven for us is itself incorruptible, undefiled, and unfading. I mean, the only way you could say I've lost my salvation is if you never had salvation. If you have been saved and you have become a child of God, if you were born, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you. It's co-heirs with Christ. It's incorruptible, undefiled, and unfading. Now, if you've got some false religion and you're a Christian because you went to church and just sat there, or you got whatever your religious expectations, but if you indeed have accepted Christ and been born again, you have an inheritance, and this inheritance, this is not going to be defiled by your lifestyle. What's going to be defiled by your lifestyle is the second phase of salvation called sanctification, the renewing of your mind. That is where many Christians would be then, in a sense, messing up their Christian experience, is they're not learning, they're not growing, they're not pursuing, they're just born again, if they are. But the normal procedure, the normal flow, is for a person to get born again. They receive an inheritance which is kept in heaven for you, but also coming from heaven is part of that inheritance called the Spirit of God, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, his tendency, because he's holy, is to lead us to holiness. Not religious rituals and not religious ideologies, but lead us into the knowledge of Christ so we may be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. So it's natural to be born again, receive an inheritance that's kept in heaven for us, but part of that inheritance, we see this in other places, is the coming, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so the normal procedures for the Christian may be to have a bumpy life, but to always be at some point turning back and looking back for the light. I mean, we've all turned away from the light, but it's uncomfortable. It's not natural. Why? One, we're born again. We're in a different family. Two, we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be easier to turn back and pursue spiritual growth in the second phase of salvation than it is going to be to just run off into darkness. Now, again, if a person can run off into darkness and be comfortable in rebellion towards God, then you got to, I mean, I can't judge a man's heart. But if you're comfortable in the darkness saying, I'm born again, well, this is born again, an inheritance kept in heaven for you. It's undefiled. But if you're fine sitting there and you're not pursuing anything, you maybe have a wrong understanding of salvation, which, again, it's possible. I mean, you got examples in the Bible. I mean, was Judas saved? Well, clearly that's a no. You got other people in the Bible, it's like they faltered, they stumbled. You know, like King Saul, was he saved? You can argue either way with that. well, not that one's obviously right and one's wrong, but Judas clearly was around, but he wasn't saved. And so there is that option there, a person's not saved. Okay, nonetheless, the incorruptible, defiled, unfading, here's the meanings of those words. Incorruptible means this inheritance is imperishable, cannot rot, cannot decay. This is the opposite of earthly things. It's permanent. It will not wear out. It cannot be lost. This is not a reward. This is inherent, is not, you don't earn this. This is kept in heaven for you. That's because you were born into the family. My last name is Weimers. Well, you know, I had to work real hard to get that. I mean, no, it was on my birth certificate. That's always, I did nothing to get it. Tony had to earn it. But, no. And she has. Okay. Too many jokes here. Verse 8. The word is used to describe eternal heavenly realities. It's used to describe incorruptible. God is corruptible in Romans 1:23. Jesus Christ is incorruptible in 1 Timothy. God's word is incorruptible, and our resurrected bodies will be incorruptible. And so this inheritance is similar in character to God, Jesus, God's word, and our resurrected bodies. Undefiled. This inheritance is also undefiled. It means unstained by sin. You see what I was talking about? It's unstained. But this Christian sinned. Well, the very fact, and Peter, I'm not telling you my idea. Well, that's what Galen thinks. I'm reading you. Peter is the one right here. I'm trying to find the verse. Into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. That's the NIV. This is Peter saying, this inheritance that is kept in heaven for you because you're born again, it cannot perish, spoil, or fade. That's the NIV, spoil. This right here in the English Standard is undefiled. The meaning of the word is unstained by sin. This inheritance that's kept in heaven for you because you're born again is unstained by sin. Well, what happens if I sin? Well, according to Peter, because we know we can sin, because Peter talks about sin, John the apostle, writing after Peter, says anyone who says he has no sin is a liar, he deceives himself. You're dealing with sin. You're constantly in this fleshly body, thoughts, actions, words, you're constantly attitudes. I mean, sometimes you're doing right, sometimes it's our nature. Now, we are born again, but our sin cannot defile the inheritance. Now, I will say it one more time. Maybe you don't have an inheritance because you aren't born again. You're just religious. That's another conversation. But if you are born again, you have an inheritance. And that inheritance, according to Peter, who denied Christ three times, says that inheritance is undefiled, which means unstained by sin. Morally and religiously pure. You are a believer, cannot defile this. You as a believer cannot defile this inheritance. It's the possession of this inheritance that cannot defile, possession of this inheritance cannot defile you. Unfading, the word is only used by Peter. It's related to a term used by Peter in 1 Peter 5:4. When the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the unfading crown of glory. So as bright as this inheritance was that day I gloriously got saved, it's still that glorious. It is unfading. It is not fading away. Meaning it's unlike flowers. It's unaffected by time. It's unaffected by conditions. Never loses its beauty. Never loses its glory. And 8 on page 2, kept. I've said that several times here. Now we're going to look at that word. This is kept in heaven. This inheritance is kept in heaven. And the word there is from T-E-R-E-O, tereo. Tereo, it means to watch, to guard, to reserve, to protect, to rescue, to set aside. So this inheritance, the reason it can't be fading, it can't be defiled, it can't be incorruptible, is because it is kept in heaven, meaning it is watched in heaven, guarded in heaven, reserved, protected, rescued, set aside in heaven. Yeah, but what about the Democratic or the Republican Party? That's of this earth. Well, what about the communists or the Muslims or the terrorists or the false religions or the Methodists? It's like they're of this age. It's kept in heaven. It's guarded, protected. No one can access this. What about Satan? Okay, he's not there. This is there. And I'm telling you Peter's terminology. I'm telling you Peter's words. I mean, okay, we need to stop. This is getting ridiculous. But, I mean, these verses right here will solve a lot of questions that people have. People are like, well, I think, well, it's in heaven, and it's kept and guarded, and that's what that word means. The Greek term, point 8a2, the Greek form of this word, tereo, is in the perfect passive. Here's more. You want more information? Perfect passive, which indicates this inheritance is already in existence. It's already in existence. It's perfect passive, and it's kept. And passive means you're not doing it. It's happening. This is there. It's happening. What do I do? It's like, it's there. You can't access it, and it's in the passive. It's kept, meaning you're not keeping it. You're not causing the keeping to be done. My daily prayers are not keeping it there. My religious actions, my righteous deeds are not keeping it there. It's kept independent of me. It's kept there. I mean, that's what the Greek means. You say, well, that's, someone would say, well, that's really not what I believe. That's really not what we teach in our church. Well, I've done some study. I don't feel that way. Okay, that's fine. But this is what Peter writes in the Greek. That's what the Greek means in Peter's book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. And so you can say, I disagree with Galen, but actually what you're saying is you're disagreeing with my understanding of what Peter's writing in the Greek. And it's not like this is like radical teaching. Like, you know, I'm in some kind of, I'm creating some cult here in my living room. Okay. The Greek form of this word, tereo, is the perfect tense. It is being carefully preserved for the believer who are themselves guarded. Now, listen, we are still in, what, chapter 1, verse 4, right? Yeah. Now, because we're going, this is kept in heaven for you. What about you? In chapter 1, verse 5, you're going to be guarded. Now, see, this could get, if you're not paying attention, and I don't blame you for not paying attention, dozing off, because I've said the same thing more like 30 times. The inheritance is kept, guarded, protected in heaven, but you are on earth. So you are vulnerable, but you are, in verse chapter 1, verse 5, you are being guarded while you're on earth. You think, well, this is a lot of work for God to do. It's like, don't I have to do anything? Okay, let's just go back and reflect. For God so loved the world, he sent his son. In the Garden of Eden, God says, the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head or bruise the serpent's head. And then all of time goes through. You've got the flood. You've got Abraham. You've got the Exodus. You've got the whole Old Testament. And then Jesus comes. Jesus goes to the cross or goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He prays, is there any other way? Is that we can? Is not. So he goes, that your will be done. He goes across. He dies. He's resurrected. And now he is ascended into heaven, and we are co-heirs with him. And this is now kept in heaven for us. And now on earth, we're going to find out we're guarded. It's like, well, is that really fair? It's like, looks like God was planning this for, you know, since the beginning of Genesis, that we would be here. So what we need to do, if you want to honor this, you need to understand this. You need to trust this. You need to put faith in this. It's like, well, I just don't think I'm worthy. Okay, well, that's established. That's established early in the books that you are not worthy. That's why Jesus came and went to the cross and invite his apostles to come along and help him. It's like, I need 12 guys, really strong guys, to help me because we need to save Israel. We're all going to take turns and die on the cross. It's like, no, they all went. No, Jesus did this by himself. So it's like, to think, look at this, say, well, this is too much. God, this, I'm not worthy of this. Okay, I think you're understanding the New Testament. I think you're catching on. Jesus Christ, according to God's plan, died on the cross for your sins. You place faith in this and trust this as your means of hope. And it's like, well, I don't know if God wants. It's like, yes, he already had it planned before the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. From before this was God's plan all along. If you want to insult God, it's not embracing this and saying, this is kept in heaven for me and I'm guarded by God. My salvation is secure. I mean, that's what the Bible says. But for you to walk with it, well, I really feel like I should contribute something. Those are the people that end up in the lake of fire. I mean, that's what the Bible, those are the people that, well, I'm not going to do it this way. I want to contribute. I think everyone should pull their own weight. We can't pull any weight. We can't do anything. This is salvation God has created for us. It's kept in heaven for us. You, meanwhile, are guarded. Embrace it. This is the renewing of your mind. This is the sanctifying of your soul. You got to understand this. And when you understand this, this should now begin to create righteousness. You are righteous because of this work, but it should begin to create righteousness and holiness in your life because it's like, oh my gosh, look what God has done for me. Look what God is planning for me. Now your good works are not trying to earn this, but because of this, you're not earning anything. You're saying, I'm a child of God. I have an eternal inheritance. God is keeping it for me. He's guarding me. Can I be of service? Can I help? Can I do something? Are you trying to earn your salvation? No. That's locked up. I'm just waiting for the revelation of my salvation in the resurrection of my body. But meanwhile, can I do something? Can I serve at someone? That is the Christian attitude. I think that sums it up. Okay, kept in heaven, we're in point eight. Again, it's a perfect passive. It's one is being carefully preserved. I'm looking at this, Pharaoh. It means to translate guarded. Okay, another one. Okay, let's go to chapter 1, verse 5. Boy, we are moving along. No, we're not. Okay, I got a big shake of the head no from the sound booth, which is also the kitchen. Chapter 1, verse 5. Who, by God's power, are being guarded? See, who, you, are being guarded through faith for salvation. Again, if you didn't get it, watch this. You are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last times. So you are in this salvation. You're being saved as renewing of your mind. You're being guarded during this process. And this salvation is fullness of the salvation. I mean, you are saved. You're being saved. But the revelation of this salvation will not be revealed until, it says right here, the last time. And you can see I've got it right there on the notes right there. I've got in the little black box where it says who, referring to you. And then dynamia, which we get the word dynamite from, the power, theou, which is power of God. And it says where it's the word phron, ooh, there's a whole ending on that. It's too hard for me to pronounce, but there's in the box, are currently being guarded. And then dia pistios, which means through faith. You're being guarded because you've put faith, because you have faith, which is not a work, it's a belief, it's a confidence. Because this is true, you believe this, this is yours. You are being guarded through faith for the salvation. There's soteriology, the word soteriology, soter, savior. The salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And you can see the word eschato, or which is eschaton, like eschatology, in the final times, this all is going to be revealed. So if you're excited about being a Christian now, that's good. That's because of your faith. That's because of your understanding. But the glory is going to happen when this all is revealed. I mean, we're someday going to be walking in this like we're walking in fall weather outside today. We go outside today, we're walking in this new season. There's going to be a new season, an eternal season of the glory of God, and that will be the fullness of salvation. Okay, point one, on guard. Besides incorruptible, undefiled, unfading, this inheritance is guarded. It is guarded in heaven. Okay, now this is incorrect. I said inheritance guarded. That's guarded in heaven with this other word kept. This now is point two, is guarded a different word. Is kept safe, carefully watched, is a military guard, and that is us are being guarded here on earth. Again, it's a military term, phroreo. Guarded is used to refer to keeping something from being stolen. Let's say that again. The Greek word phroreo for guarded means to keep something from being stolen. So passively, you're not doing it. It's being done to you. Or this action is being done, guarded, and it's being done to you. It's being done to keep you from being stolen. Well, where are you going to be stolen from? You're going to be stolen from your salvation, your born-again family, your inheritance. Well, this word, someone else, God, God's plan, is keeping you from being stolen. Once again, if you're here, you can't be stolen or lose your salvation. Now, if you're not here, then we need to get you here. But once you've accepted Christ and you have faith in Christ and you're born again, it's a done deal. It's an eternal result. Okay. Point C, this inheritance is totally secure. It cannot be, and here's a list of words, spent, lost, corrupted, cashed in, exchanged, damaged. It cannot be taken with time, corruption, sin, conditions, attitude, because it is eternal and it is guarded by God and guarded by God continually. And by faith, again, this faith or this guarding or shielding is by faith. The inheritance is reserved for the believer in heaven, and they are surrounded with military protection on earth. I'm saying that again. Okay, point four, page four. The believer's faith gave them access to this, and now this faith that you have, you're being guarded here on earth, and this faith is a reference to personal faith. It's not a doctrinal. It's not signing a statement of faith. It's not, you know, a corporate faith. It's not the Christian faith. It is your faith. And this is chapter 1, verse 7, 1, 9, 1, 21, 5, 9, 2 Peter chapter 1, 1, 2 Peter 1, 5. It is always referring to your faith. Now, you can have faith in this, or you can have doubt, rejection. Here's a couple of them. I don't want to read all of these, but you've got them written down there. In chapter 1, verse 7, it's coming up here. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold. Chapter 1, verse 9, obtaining the outcome of your faith. Chapter 1, verse 21, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. See, you're trusting your salvation. Your faith and hope are in God. Your faith is in what I'm explaining to you here. It's like, okay, Jesus did this for me. Your faith is not in, well, I've done a lot of good works. Or your faith is not in, well, I haven't done this sin. Or I don't say this word. Your faith is in God's work. Your faith is not in what you do. Your faith is in God, in this plan. And so that is talking about your personal faith in what is being presented to you. And that is the goal of Bible teaching. The goal of the evangelist is to present this to every individual so they can have faith in God's plan. The goal of the Bible teacher is to take and explain to every individual believer the concept of this so you can sanctify yourself and come to a greater understanding of what you've bought into when you place faith in this. And then, of course, at the end is the glorification, the resurrection. Point E, this guarding of the inheritance and the shielding of the believer is in place of and holding until the coming of salvation, which three phases of salvation, I talk about that right there again. Point F, the salvation is shielded and the inheritance is guarded until the last time. Point G, this salvation is ready. It's ready now, which is ready. It says right there, I'll read that again. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed. It's ready to be revealed today. It's ready, but it's waiting there, ready to be revealed in the last time. So this is not developing. That's all there, waiting for the last time, and that's that last point there. I think on page, wherever it was, point F. Salvation is shielded until the last time. Okay, that's good. You can read some more notes there. Page 5, chapter 1, verse 6. If you understand this, if you understand what I've said here, what Peter has said and I've tried to explain, your result should be similar to this. I mean, I think I'm right on step with Peter because it says, in this you rejoice. Because of what we've just been talking about, you rejoice. It's like, whoa, this is good news. And so you rejoice. You rejoice in this, though now, back to the world, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. So you've got trials. They are various trials. These trials are grieving you. I'll just write grief. They're bringing you grief. Trials are grieving you. But it says, if This is not necessarily the result of this. It's going to happen, but it's not necessary. There's a definite if in this. For a little while. And this little while is, you could make it in the context. It's going to be a week. It could be a couple days. You're going to have some trouble here with the weather for a period of time. Or this little while can be in reference to, which it is, eternity. The inheritance kept for you that will be revealed in the last times when you're glorified, and this is now your eternal state. Now you look back at the trials that caused you grief, if they came, was for a little while. Now a little while could be 70 years. It could be 7 days. This little while is in comparison with eternity. And so we go backwards, trials, grief, if necessary, a little while, but you still, because of what we've been talking about, you're still going to rejoice at what we discussed, your inheritance, your being born again. Nothing can take it from you, even though you're facing trials, which they themselves could cause you to stumble. The grief that could cause you to despair, and this if is important because this is not normal. This is not guaranteed. Normal would be that God's plan, God's goodness continues, but because we are here, this is going to happen. You're going to have trials that's going to cause you grief. But remember, it's only a little while. Seems like a long time. Why do I have to face it and that guy doesn't have to? Either way, it's a little while. When you put a little while, if it's 7 days or 7 years on the time scale and compare it to eternity, eternity outweighs 70 years, 700 years, and 7 minutes every time, almost to the place that you can't distinguish. Again, I've never been in that position where I had 7 minutes, 7 days, and 70 years, but I would assume that if you put eternity, I would really lose perspective of 7 minutes and 7 years. It would seem like, think of things that you went through, example, again, I don't want to get too morbid here, but think about things you struggled with for 4, 5, 10 years, and now it's past, and now it's a memory that is like, oh, I remember that. Boom, now it's gone. I mean, it's like it's really reduced to a nugget of a memory. Now, again, you can dwell on it. It can have scars in your memory and your personality. But if I have different things in my life, difficult jobs I had or time situations. It's like, it's not, by the time I explain it, it's like we've already lost interest in it. It's vapor now. And so, eventually, it's going to be a little time. Okay, that's what he's saying right there, that you've got this great thing, but you rejoice in this, even though now, and again, let's read chapter 1, verse 7. Turn the page. We're going to read chapter 1, verse 7. You have grieved by various trials, and chapter 1, verse 7, this one hurts. Why are you facing these trials and grieving? Well, it says right here, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though refined by fire, tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So in other words, it says right here, Peter tells you why these trials are coming. Why are these trials coming? Because you have faith, you have trusted God, you have faith in Jesus, and it's going to test your faith. And when it tests your faith, you're going to either collapse, which would be an indication that you really weren't rejoicing. Because if you are rejoicing in this inheritance and this born again, and you understand this, thus why I teach Bible, to help build this expectation of what God is saying, you got born again, but do you understand the glory you're headed for? Do you understand the inheritance? That for that, you rejoice. Even though for a little while, you may have suffered trials. Why is this happening? It's a testing of your faith that you're rejoicing in, and you are going to be able to hold on because you know this is coming, and this is what this says right here. In this you greatly rejoice, so now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, though perishes, though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is, it's being testing your faith, and you're going to pass that test because you're rejoicing. And when you stand firm in this age that says there's no God, or don't be God, or you're tempted or led astray, or you're under some kind of attack, and you're grieved because of that, but you stand firm. You may be losing something, status, opportunities, whatever. You're losing these things because of this. It's going to result in, I'll just say, rewards when Jesus Christ is revealed in the last time. So when Jesus Christ comes back for that last phase of salvation, and you're standing firm in the midst of these trials, you're building up rewards that are going to be manifest when Jesus Christ returns. So this is good news. You're rejoicing now, but you're going to face troubles, but that's coming nothing more than you can build. Why are these troubles coming? Now, you're not gaining inheritance, you're gaining rewards, praise, glory, and right there. And this is an interesting thought right here. May be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now the question comes, praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ comes, when Jesus Christ reveals at the last time. Jesus Christ comes, resurrection, because of these trials that came because of your faith, you're gaining rewards, and there will be praise, glory, and honor. Now, that can go two directions. Praise, glory, and honor to Jesus Christ. Well, look at this great work that Jesus has done. He saved a sinner like me through all these trials from my sin. Praise, glory, and honor to Jesus Christ. That would be true. But in the context, remember, we're already co-heirs with Christ. He's already sharing the inheritance with us. Now, he's left us here, just like he says, pick up your cross and follow me. He's left us here for a little while. He's not concerned. He's not worried. Well, what happens if we have to suffer? It's like, well, you will. It's not like, does Jesus know I'm suffering? Yeah, he said you would. He's going to leave you here. You're going to face grief because of trials, and they've come why? Because you've got faith in Christ, because you've got faith in God's plan. And this is going to result in these trials and your faith, the trials that have come because of your faith, are going to result in praise, glory, and honor, which is your rewards. Because you stood firm, you'll receive praise from Jesus Christ. You'll receive glory from Jesus Christ. You'll receive honor. You'll be recognized by Jesus Christ because you stood firm as a son of God, not the son of God, but a child of God in the midst of a fallen world in rebellion towards God's plan from the Garden of Eden all the way through history. Someone's been trying to take it down. You stood firm. That will result in rewards when Jesus Christ is revealed. So all this right here, these test trials are going to result in praise, glory, and honor for us when Jesus Christ returns and recognizes us for what we've done. Again, that's what it's saying. Again, praise, glory, and honor go to Jesus Christ, but he is definitely going to share and reward us when he returns for having stood firm with him. You rejoice in what is in heaven, your inheritance. The trials are now being faced because of this faith. You're encouraged. The same one who is, you're rejoicing for what he's done, he's got more to do for you in that final phase of salvation, the glorification and the rewarding. We're out of time. We'll pick this up next week. Once again, I should probably just not make any more notes and just do it again. I'll pray and we're done. Father, we do thank you for the chance to look into these things. We thank you for the opportunity to be children of God, to be born again, and to hear that our inheritance is secure in Christ, that it is waiting there for us. It's kept in heaven for us, but also that you have placed your spirit in us, that you put us in an opportunity to serve you, to testify about you, to live in this fallen age, knowing of the glory that's coming, and that we are able to face the trials and consequences of these short moments, these short, brief years that we have on earth, knowing that we have an inheritance and rewards coming when Jesus Christ is revealed. We do look forward to his return and do ask for strength that we may stand firm in these trials and bring glory and honor to him with our lives, with our words, and with our deeds at this time in history. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your time.